Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the official Leeds United podcast. I don't know if you all saw this week. Oh, actually, before I get on to talking about that, I should mention that, Bridgie's not here. He cried off minutes before the show, leaving me all to my lonesome. Or am I? Maybe I've got a guest coming on. But before we get to that, I just want to mention, I don't know if you all saw Jorginho's celebration after he scored against Swansea last week. That was just to clear something up for any of you who isn't aware, which is probably all of you. That was for me. He did a celebration for me, which will all become much, much clearer when you hear the Christmas special that we've already recorded with Georgie that will be coming hopefully to wherever you get your podcasts very, very soon. Sorry for that kind of out of order podcast, but we got him when we could and he was in a Christmas jumper. So we made it a Christmas special and all will be explained about that celebration in the coming weeks. But before then, more importantly, right now, I'm very, very pleased to welcome to the show a huge Leeds United fan and one of the biggest names in the world of darts right now. It is Luke Humphreys. How are you, my friend?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully, mate. It's a real pleasure to have you on the show. Obviously, we're used to having players, but me not being a player myself, it's always nice to have someone who is just a fan of the club come on and talk about, you know, their history with Leeds United and supporting the team. But also to have one on as well decorated as yourself. I mean, what have we got? The World Grand Prix, the Grand Slam and the Players' Championships final winner. All in the space of a pretty short amount of time, eh, Luke? What is it like? Was it like 49 days or something between the first title and the third?
I've had a great year this year, and then obviously, the thing that was missing from my career as a darts player was winning my first major title.
Right.
And I went on and did that in pretty good fashion. And then, you know, 49 days later, I had another two. And I've been a professional darts player for 6 years. So, you know, it was only my second, it was only my second ever major final.
Wow.
And I'm sat here, I was 49 days late and I'm on number three.
What do you attribute that kind of, I mean, not rapid success, I mean, 6 years you've grafted and whatever, but I mean, from winning that first one, is it a psychological thing just to get over that line and finally win it? Or like, what do you think you can put that down to, winning so many in such a short succession?
I think it's, you know, obviously hard work over the last 6 years. I've gradually seen myself get better and better. And the last 2 years have definitely shown that the capabilities I had. A lot of people have been touting me, you know, he's a major champion in the making. And, you know, I was getting very close, making semi-finals and just not getting into that final, giving myself a chance to win. And then I finally gave myself a chance again, you know, to get into a winning scenario. And I played Gerrard Price and, you know, obviously, he was playing the best darts in the world at the time. And then all of a sudden, that win just propelled me to win more. And I think it gives you the confidence, it gives you that ability to believe you can win. Once you win that first time, I think you have that sense of believing you can win. And that's a dangerous thing to have in someone like me, because obviously I'm a very heavy scorer, good on the doubles. So when I've got that confidence in me, it just proves that, you know, you can keep on winning like that. So obviously the hard work over the last few years has definitely attributed, but you know, I think that first win was really crucial. And it's allowed me to, you know, open the floodgates for a lot more titles.
We were talking about you because we knew we were hoping to get you on the show. So Bridgie and I were actually talking about you last week, and we were talking about individual sports. Bridgie's a keen golfer. I am also a golfer, but not a good one. But we were talking about, particularly with individual sports, that. And I kind of wanted to ask if you'd agree with this, really.
Yeah.
Is that you feel like at the certain level, you know, in the top 10, top 20, everyone's kind of there and thereabouts, a similar kind of level of ability. But that psychological element, you're on a stage, you've got, you know, 10, 20,000 people watching, rowdy, and it's just the spotlight's on you. You know, you've got the dartboard in front of you, and it's like, who can deal with that pressure more than the other guy? Is that kind of how it feels when you're up there?
Honestly, I'd say you're 100% right, Ian Ridley. I think there is not a lot between, you know, the top 20 players in the world in most individual sports. It's more to do with that. Who's got that psychological advantage in the pressure moments? You know, obviously it's hard sometimes when you're going for doubles, or you need a shot out to keep yourself in the game or to win the game. You know, it all comes down to the bit of bulk. And sometimes it's not that you haven't got it. It's sometimes you just need a good few experiences, you know, a good experience where you've done something good. It stays in your memory. And then when that scenario arises again, you feel like, well, I've done this before. I can do it again. But for me, you know, in my career, I've had quite a lot of good experiences.
Right.
So, you know, I think that that doesn't contribute. That does contribute to, you know, a lot of my success. Yeah, I do believe that, you know, like you said, the top 20 in any individual sport is, it's very, very close. There's not much in between it. And also, I think a lot to do with consistency as well.
Yeah.
I think the top players are much more consistent at a higher level than the people below you. But of course, that anybody below, all it needs for them to take is an extra 5% in their game to increase, and then they'll join you at the top. So yeah, it's all very close. There's not a big disadvantage between the top 20.
And it's not something you can train, is it? I mean, we talk about with I just highlighted the chat we've got with Jorginho Rutter coming through in a couple of weeks, and he talks a lot about his confidence, which is really, really interesting, actually. He talks about how he was lacking it. And similar to what you just said, it took instances of positivity, good things happening, good experiences that eventually he could slowly, you know, claw his way back. But it's not something you can really, I mean, you can't train for 14,000 people screaming and shouting when you're throwing a dart, can you? I mean, is there something you do? Do you meditate? Do you have a sports psychologist? Is there something you can maybe do a little of to try and help the mental aspect of it?
Yeah, I mean, talking about Jorginho, obviously, when he first joined us, he didn't get that confidence. He wasn't, you know, getting full games, and, you know, he wasn't getting assists and scoring, you know, and he wasn't having them great memories. Whereas the start of this season, he started off to a flyer.
Mm.
Now he's full of confidence, and, you know, we're seeing in his performances, while the assists he's creating, the goals, the important goals he scored, that's just going to carry him forward now for the rest of the season. So, like I said, you know, all that confidence, it does really help. And, you know, obviously when the crowds can be quite loud, and they can be, you know, sometimes not off-putting, but sometimes they can distract you. But I think top players are more mentally strong, and they're able to deal with the crowds more. A lot of people ask me, you know, do you know what the crowd is singing, they're chanting? Not really, because I like to stay fully focused on, you know, what I'm doing,
right?
And not try and play into the crowd too much, because if you know what's going on around you, then you're not focusing on the dartboard. But yeah, I think it is hard, and it is hard to focus sometimes, but I think that's something I keep out of my game that I've obviously really introduced into a good way in the last couple of years.
The crowd can be almost a double-edged sword at times as well. I mean, you can utilize them to a degree,
yes,
but then they can always turn, can't they? And it can go the opposite way, can't it?
Usually they're on my side, but if you get in a big lead, and, you know, they want to stay there for longer, they're going to want the other person to start coming back again. So they want to see, they want you to start, you know, missing a few doubles,
right,
the other person getting a few legs back, because they want to be there as long as possible. They want to see really tight games, you know. Obviously, if you're getting in a big advantage and a big lead, it's not good fun for them. They want to see close, hard fought games. And so, you know, if you're in a big lead, that they do sometimes come against you, but that's just the way it is.
Well, I mean, talking about tight, close games, I mean, we'll get onto Leeds United after this, but I just, from a personal perspective, want to ask, like, the final, the Players' Championship with MVG.
Yeah.
I mean, you were, what was it, 9-5 down, was it? Is that right?
Cool,
yeah. And you're also, you've been on the wrong end of a 9-darter. What's going through your head at this point? I mean, do you genuinely have a never say die attitude, or are you like, bloody hell, this is hard work, this?
When you play Michael, arguably one of the greatest players of the sport, in a major final, yeah, it's really tough. Because, you know, he'd been a bit up and down throughout the tournament. I've been pretty consistent. I played really well.
Right.
And He seemed to be on it in that final. He wasn't missing the treble. And when I was notified, obviously the 9-darter in the fifth leg, he had one earlier in the year against me, around the World Series final. And he played fantastic in that game as well. So I was thinking, here we go again. And obviously 9-5 up. He was playing really well, and I was playing all right, but I just felt a bit flat and a bit tired. And when I went after the break at 9-6, I just thought to myself, you know, just one last push. I've got a couple of weeks off now. I was feeling really tired. One last push, go out there and show what you're capable of. You know, this. If you win this game, this will show a lot of grit and determination. And obviously, when I come out from the break, you know, I was hitting big finishes, 1-8s were flying, and I put him under pressure.
Yeah.
And you know, when you put someone under pressure when they're in such an enhanced winning, you know, margin, they're on the line of winning the tournament. You put them under pressure, they can not fold, but, you know, they can falter, and I made him falter. And that's saying something from, you know, against one of the best players that's ever been. And it was always my dream to beat, you know, Michael in a final, because I wasn't around when Phil Taylor was in his peak. You know, I wasn't that professional then, but obviously the next best thing for me was to beat Michael in a final. And arguably a lot of people have been saying I'm the best player in the world this year. And Michael said in one of his interviews, no, I don't believe that he's got to beat me yet, and then I'll beat him as well.
That's amazing. I mean, I guess it's kind of like that Rocky thing a little bit, isn't it? That he's doing all this great stuff, the nine darter, he's two, three legs away, whatever. But he just can't shake you off. I mean, that must be quite mentally draining, that, when you just can't shake someone off. Is it about that, just staying with them?
I've had that experience of playing against people. You know, there is a few good players in darts that it just won't go away. You know, you can be on top form and they just won't go away. They'll keep battering, keep, you know, they won't give it. And you have to beat them. They won't let you, you know, just crawl over the line. So I just wanted to do that for myself. I didn't want me and Michael just to crawl over the line and get it done easy. I wanted to make him work for it and work hard. And, you know, it was, funnily enough, I finished on double one to win the title. That's probably one of the rarest things that in a major title I've ever seen. Off memory, I can't remember anybody ever finishing on double one for a major title. And it made it a little bit funny and special for me.
Do you think, and I don't know if you'd be able to answer this really, but if you'd not won the previous two, say this would have been your maiden.
Yeah.
Do you think you would have had what it took to have clawed that match back?
Honestly, I don't think so. I mean, you can't be certain because who knows. But I don't think I would have had it. I think that confidence and that, you know, belief to win and that determination that I'd obviously gained from the last two wins probably helped me through there. I never see the crowd. The crowd were obviously cheering for me after they're willing me to win. But I definitely do think that if I wouldn't have won them first two, I don't know if I'd have had that confidence and that ability and that good memory, like I keep saying, that it would have got me over the line. But when you're in a winning streak, you just feel on top of the world. You don't feel like anybody can beat you. And, you know, maybe just gently in the back of my mind, I thought, you know, I've not lost a game for 2 months on the TV. No, it's not going to come to an end there, and it didn't, luckily.
Amazing. I mean, we were talking again about getting in the zone, as it were. I've been talking about this a lot recently, both with sportsmen and at work as well. We have it with what I do as an actor. Like, there's moments where somehow you just find this zone and you everything feels right, whether it's a golf swing or you're throwing a dart.
As an actor, you'll know when you have to get into the zone. You're not really aware what's going on around you.
Exactly.
You're in your character and you're in that zone. And it's a bit like sport. You know, you get into that zone and whatever's going on around you, you're not quite 100% because you're focusing on what you're doing.
I mean, you must be in a pretty great spot now, you know, going into the world. I mean, you can't have had a better preparation really than winning what you've won. But how is it all going in the practice room? Are you feeling good about it?
Yeah, like you said, obviously it's been a good couple of months. Obviously the running is been important. You know, usually you want a good, I think it's four majors we're playing, but just before the run up to the Worlds, and obviously to win three of them is good confidence for me. The practice has been going really well.
Wow.
I'm actually in Leeds tonight, Wednesday, at the Royal Irish, playing in an exhibition against Michael. So that's going to be some more good practice and good preparation for myself. But yeah, we usually try and do a few exhibitions in between, you know, the last major and before the Worlds at Christmas. So you know, the prep's been going really well. Practice is going good. It's going to be really, really tough, this World Championships, because I think a lot of people are going to want to beat me and make a name for themselves. But, you know, I'm feeling quietly confident that I can be a World Champion, but it's going to be, you know, really, really tough.
Well, everyone in Leeds and not just Leeds, I mean, all over the country, everyone's going to be so excited to watching you play in the Worlds. I wish you so much luck for it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, mate. It's going to be, I don't know if you're going to need luck, mate, the way you're playing, honestly.
You would need a little bit of luck sometimes. Always need a little bit.
A little bit. Well, okay, let's, I'll come back to darts in a minute because I live in the United States and I want to ask about, you know, a little bit about, you know, we've got a lot of US supporters now with the 49ers connection and whatnot. And so I want to talk a little bit in a moment about how you feel like darts is sort of making headway into the United States. I know they have the matches in Vegas and whatnot. We'll talk about that in a minute. I think we should get on to Leeds United for a moment, because some of our eagle-eared listeners will notice that you don't have maybe a traditional Leeds supporters accent. Am I right? You were born in Newbury and right in Berkshire. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the reason it came about from supporting Leeds was my granddad was a Tottenham supporter, and my dad and his brother. It didn't have a tee yet. I think there must have been about 7 or 8. And it was a 1972 FA Cup final, Leeds versus Arsenal. My uncle, which is my dad's brother, he got the first pick and he picked Arsenal. My dad obviously got left with Leeds. And then we won that FA Cup final, 1-0. Yeah, so it was a funny way how it came about, how we become Leeds fans.
And he's brought you up with it. Is it true, I don't know if that Luke is Leeds United Kings of Europe, is that true?
It is true, yeah. I was named after the club.
That is incredible. I think you're probably the first person we've had on the show named after Leeds United. You had absolutely no choice.
I had no choice. I was going to be called Liam, and then my dad see it on the news that someone had called their son Luke after Leeds United Kings of Europe after we won the Intercity Fairs Cup.
Right.
And obviously everyone's seeing Leeds United are the Kings of Europe. And he named his son that in the 80s. My dad see it on the news, and I was going to be Liam, and then ended up changing to Luke, Leeds United Kings of Europe, which is...
That is absolutely...
quite funny.
Superb. That is brilliant. So, I mean, do you still live down there in Berkshire?
Oh, I live in Cheshire now. I live in Crewe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I moved... obviously, I met my partner. She was from Cheshire. So we moved at more of a central location, which is a bit closer to Newbury, not too close, but it's also close to her family. And the good thing for me is I'm a bit closer to Leeds now, which means I can come to a few more games, which is always good news.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, just before I go, my dog's called Luke, and he was named after Luke Skywalker, but I'm actually going to start telling people he was named after Leeds United Kings of Europe.
So it sounds better. It sounds better.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, that's what I'll say from now on. Absolutely. My wife's going to love that. So living obviously outside of Leeds, and you know, barring the last sort of few years, it's been a tough time being a Leeds United fan. I mean, has it ever sort of? I mean, I don't imagine that your dad's really allowed it to be, but has it ever been sort of pushed to its limits, really, when you've not been able to get to games, and the football's been as bad as it has been over maybe the last 20 years?
Yeah, I mean, from my earliest memories of being a Leeds fan, you know, I'm talking the last 2 years of being in the Premiership. You know, my whole life has been pretty much Championship and League One. I don't want the rest of my life to be but it's been followed, you know, the Championship, and we've had our ups and downs. You know, we've had moments where, you know, it's looking likely we could be League Two, and now we went back up all the way to the Premier League. Sitting in the Championship, I don't think we deserve to be there. I think we're a Premiership team. I think most fans would want us to be in there.
Yeah.
You know, Leeds fans are the greatest. They put on such a great atmosphere at the road. You know, obviously, I don't get to go as much as I want to the last sort of 5 years, because I play nearly every weekend, and obviously football's on the weekend.
And you must be touring everywhere,
all over the world a lot, and it's weekends. And, you know, obviously, next year changes, because a lot of our tournaments are being moved into the midweek, and, you know, I have more free weekends, which will be great. Obviously, I'll be able to go to a few more games, because in on the road, it is something special. It's the atmosphere, and I watch every single game that Leeds play. Just being there is extra special. So me being closer to Leeds is obviously a great thing, because, you know, next year I can go to a lot more games.
That's amazing. I mean, I'm sure that you'll be very, very welcome at Elland Road. Make sure they're taking good care of you.
They do.
I'm glad. Yeah, I mean, I'm in the same boat, mate. As I say, I live in the US, so, you know, we watch every game. And obviously I do the show, but when I'm back home, I do try and get to every game I can, just because it's so important, and it's so special. Yeah. And it's a thing you can't really describe to people who've not experienced it. And you just kind of want to get topped up, don't you, while you can.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, it's just a great feeling being there, watching them. You know, just being a part of the atmosphere. I think it is incredible. Yeah.
And especially this year. I mean, I've been talking nonstop, it feels like, just how much we're actually all enjoying this season. There's jeopardy on the line. We're playing really, really well. There's just been some real memorable moments this year. How have you found the season so far?
I think, you know, the way it started, I was a little bit worried. I thought, you know, I thought we was going to be kind of up there from the start. And so, yeah, it was quite an unnervy start, to be honest. But I think the way we've played it, 7-12 games, especially at home, have been absolutely fantastic. I think, like we were talking about the confidence thing, Jorginho is like a new signing for us this year. His confidence, the way he's playing, you know, it's like a massive signing for us, even though we got him last year. We got the best attacking front four in the league, that is without a doubt. You know, the additions of Rodon and Byram have helped our defence. These are all important things. I think that we stand a good chance. The only annoying thing is that usually with the points we have, we probably would have been first or second, but just two other teams seem to be having the season of their lives.
It's the most Leeds thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate, but, you know, about 8-9 games ago, we were miles more, and now we're much more close. It's much more believable that we could even finish first. You know, Ipswich and Leicester are getting a lot of last-minute goals at the moment.
And it's kind of what you were saying, wasn't it, about the darts? I mean, we've just got to stay with them and just keep... I mean, the pressure's on them, really, isn't it? We've just got to stay with them.
Ipswich, when they would have come up last year, they probably would have gone into this year thinking, you know, let's not get really... let's not go back down. Let's, you know, maybe mid-table, if we can snatch the playoffs, that'd be fantastic. But Now they're sitting in second, they're probably thinking, right, well, we got a good chance to go up to the Premier League. And, you know, who knows how that pressure will tell for them. You know, they might start thinking about it. And obviously Leeds are used to being in the Championship, the playoffs, and trying to get up for automatic. So, you know, Leeds have got that experience. And I'm hoping that they falter a little bit. I mean, Leicester look good as well. But, you know, they're sort of faltering a little bit. They got a lucky, well, not lucky, but, you know, they were lucky enough to come out with only 1 point at the weekend. So, yeah, I think Leeds are showing a bit of grit and a bit of determination as well.
I feel like Christmas, obviously, is going to be the, for me personally, I'm looking at, you know, squad depth for everyone. I'm looking at potential injuries. And even in I got the African Cup of Nations coming up. And I'm just thinking that Christmas, with this hectic schedule, is really going to sort the wheat from the chaff, really. I mean, where are you hoping that Leeds United come out, you know, in after New Year's Day, going into January? What league position do you think we're really realistically looking at? Do you think we can break into that top two over Christmas?
Honestly, I'd say I think second. I think, yeah, Ipswich have got Leicester and us back to that. You know, I think that's going to be tough, and that would tell a lot. Leeds need to be, not desperately, but I think we need to beat Ipswich, you know, put that pressure on. And if Leicester beat them, then, you know, we're right behind them, if not in front. I'm hoping, you know, we could be in that top two after Christmas, or after New Year, should I say. It'll give us a bit more confidence and a bit more, you know, leeway, because we're always chasing. I want us to be people to be chasing that.
Well, you've heard it here first. I agree. I'm not going to disagree with that at all. I think we've got a really great opportunity to really make a real push on that top two. And I expected that genuinely in January to be looking in a pretty good spot. You talked about the players there and their confidence and how they're playing. Am I right in saying you got up to Thorpe Arch and played a bit of darts with them recently?
Yeah, I did. I went up there a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I went up there and played a bit of darts with them. Happened to surprise me.
Really?
He was pretty good, to be honest. Obviously, he knows a bit about.
Oh, the Dutch are.
Handy, so you knew he was going to be good. And who else was good? Aidan Anthony was all right. He could throw a decent dart. Shax was all right. And then me and Jorginho did a little doubles game against Luke Aylin and Liam Cooper, and that was good fun as well. And they're all in good spirits. It's all, you know, you'll see them, got to meet the manager as well. He actually requested to come down and see me and get a picture.
Wow.
Because his son's a big fan, so that was what a special thing as well. Got a 10-minute chat with him.
That's incredible. How was all that? Because, I mean, we'd love to get him on the show. Like, how was all that?
It was fantastic. You know, obviously being there is obviously great, but to be invited, it is another feeling, because you feel wanted. And you know that they've been so good to me, Leeds United, not just, you know, going up there this time I just did, but I've been up there a few times. They're always, you know, welcoming me with open arms. And you know, just to add, obviously I've never met a Leeds manager before. So to have the manager request to come down and see me and chat with me and ask, yeah, that was quite special. Well, he's a lovely, lovely guy, honestly.
I'm just fascinated by him, Matt. Yeah.
He honestly reminds me of like Jurgen Klopp, sort of, you know, very friendly, very, you know, warm. I love him, but also, you know, very strict with his, you know, routines and the way he manages and stuff, which is perfect. You know, we like that. But yeah, you know, he said, anything you need from us as a club, you know, just let us know. And stuff like that makes you feel really good.
Yeah.
He's got a busy job doing what he does. So to spare a bit of time for me was really fantastic. And, you know, it'd be great for you to get him on the show, because he's quite an interesting man.
Oh, you would absolutely love to. I mean, I would love to. I mean, I think I'm terrified of him as well, but I would love to certainly pick his brains. So he's a big darts man, is he? Like darts?
He does like darts. His sons are big fans.
Right.
Of darts.
Okay.
Germany is quite massive for darts. It's probably second to the UK. Wow. But, you know, any German probably know about darts.
Yeah.
It's quite bigger. It's second to football. Well, it's not second to football in the UK, but it's second to football in Germany. Darts is the second biggest sport, so, you know,
incredible.
His sons are big fans, and I think that's why he came down and wanted to get a photo to send to them.
Oh, amazing. Do you feel like, obviously you've been a Leeds fan for a long, long time, and there's been a real great embrace of the community in recent years? I feel like, I mean, obviously probably started with Marcelo around that time, but I just feel like the club is really embracing the fans and the community and the city in a way that maybe got a little neglected over the years. I feel like we all feel very, very together right now, if that makes sense.
I do agree. I think over the last sort of 5 years, you know, like ever since Marcelo Bielsa came and joined the club, I feel like everybody just wants to, you know, join together and, you know, support everyone. And it's fantastic. Obviously, I'm not sure if it would have been like, because we've been in the championship for so long, that maybe Leeds fans would get a little bit more disappointed that we were in there for so long and, you know, not give up, but you sort of feel like, oh, we need something special to happen. And then soon as, you know, Bielsa come in, all of a sudden we have this unity of fans, the club, the players. So yeah, I think we have a lot to thank for Bielsa, because he really did change our club around, I think. Got us believing in football again, got us, the fans, enjoying our football again, because we did go for a little lull period where, I'll be honest, it wasn't great watching us.
No,
it was becoming a draw.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do agree with you. The last 5 years have definitely brought this club into a more of a unity, and you know, like I said, Bielsa is definitely someone to thank for that.
Absolutely agree. Well, I'm going to ask a slightly selfish question, because, as I say, being in the United States, we, you know, my friends and I have the Orlando Whites supporters club, and we very frequently after Leeds games, we go and play darts. And in the pub that we're in, we have a proper dartboard, steel tips. But then, as often in America, it's a lot of the, you know, the old plastic electric things.
Yeah,
and they're wildly popular. I mean, every bar seems to have them, and everyone plays them. But how do you feel like the game itself, on a professional level, how do you think that's growing into the United States?
I mean, there's a lot of people that, over the whole of the United States, there is a lot of people that play darts. You know, probably more than the UK, which sounds crazy. Obviously, the population. I don't think the interest is in there at like a professional level. You know, like watching darts on TV. I think a lot of people just see it as in America, as a, like a pub game. You know, you go into the pub, have a beer, have a game of darts, and a lot of people don't realise it's actually a proper, fully fledged professional sport. I think that's changing. Obviously, I was in New York in June, and we sold out the MSG, the Hulu Theatre one, and the crowd was fantastic, the best I'd ever seen in America.
Amazing.
So, you know, it's definitely changed. It's definitely getting better. I think there's a new influx in American players that are starting to do well.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever heard of Stowe Bunce. He's come from nowhere.
That's great.
Leonard Gates as well. He's been doing really well. Obviously, Danny Baggage, these are all American players that, you know, are starting to bring their attention towards the darts in America. Yeah, I think it is growing, but I think the PDC are trying to their best to, you know, get the darts more and more over there, try and grow it as best as we can, because obviously it's a big market. If we can crack the American market, you know, there's massive, massive opportunities for us as a sport, because obviously America's one of the toughest ones to break. And I think a lot of American people like the fact that it's just non-stop. A lot of American sport is, you know, stop start
100%.
You know, this is just, you know, from the start to the end, it's non-stop, and I think they kind of are taking to that.
And I feel like it's kind of almost tailor-made for them, really, in the as you say there, it's got the element that it keeps going. But also, you know, Americans with their sports, that they are spectator sports. They're there where you go and you have a hot dog and you have a beer, and it's all the stuff that happens around it. And whereas in football, you know, you can't even have a beer in the stand. But darts, we welcome it. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like in parts of America, if they were to actually experience one, like a Madison Square Garden, and be able to experience some of these big nights out watching you guys play, I think it could really, really take off. It's just getting that exposure, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the whole plan is to, you know, keep doing what they're doing in New York. We obviously went to Vegas, we used to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
I think it's to, you know, to do New York and hope that interest builds and builds and builds. And then they might bring another in America, you know, try and, I don't know where it would be, but they'd try somewhere different, you know, try maybe two events a year and then build up to four, and then obviously bring that interest. And because, like I said, it's a big, big market. And if we can break it and our sport can be exposed to how good darts is, I think a lot of people never watch it, and when they watch it, they get hooked on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's such a great sport.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think if we can keep pushing, and the Americans are more open to enjoying it, then yeah, it would be fantastic.
Do you know, I had that that famous clip from the match with it was Wayne Mardell's commentary of the
Michael Van Gerwen and Michael Smith's
exactly,
nine darter,
and the amount of my friends, American friends, that have never watched a darts match in their life, were asking me if I'd seen this clip. They'd all seen it. It was doing the rounds everywhere. And I think you're absolutely right. It's little stuff like that you go, oh, this is actually interesting. I might give this game a watch. And once you've got them, haven't you?
Yeah, that's it. It's a sport that once it's got you, you just can't stop watching it. And that nine dart was on Errol Halloweeny show.
Ah, okay.
He got Michael Smith on the show, and obviously he's a massive, you know, boxing UFC journalist, and he in America. you know, it even got that attention. And I think there was something else where Shaquille O'Neal was throwing darts on the show because of it.
Oh, wow. And,
you know, these sort of things are quite incredible things to, you know, they were watching that moon dart on the show. So things like that do help the product of our sport, and yeah, they're great moments.
Well, without a shadow of a doubt, I think that this year's World Champs will be having more eyes on it probably than ever before, which leads me on to my final question, where I'm going to be very cruel and I'm going to put you on the spot, Luke. I'm going to say, if you could pick one, would it be Leeds United promotion or a first-time PDC World Championship title for yourself?
That's a tough one, Mark. I'd have to be selfish and say, you know, I'll be World Champion. I'm sorry, but I'd have to be selfish on that part. But maybe that we could do both.
Do both.
To be honest, I'd have to say, you know, me being world champion, that's obviously my dream. That's something I've always wanted to experience. But yeah, I'm in the Premier League next year in the darts, so I'm hoping, you know, need to be joining me as well. I do believe that we could do a Premier League double.
I mean, that would be absolutely incredible. Am I right in saying that you were hoping to do like a Leeds United walk-in, but it's not quite working out?
It's not been said, no. I've not asked yet. Obviously, when I play in the Leeds arena on May, in middle of May, it's 5 days after the season finishes, as long as we're not in the playoffs. I think a lot of the lads have said that they're going to come down and be there. Obviously, if they're in the playoffs, they'll still have to, you know, focus on them.
Sure.
But Luke Adrian said he can't come because he'll be in Vegas, so unfortunately he won't be there. But a couple of them said they're going to come, so that would be fantastic.
Well, I tell you what, I'm actually over in May, so maybe I'll see if I can.
You'll have to come as well.
I'll see if I can pop down myself. That would be absolutely unreal.
Honestly, have you ever been to the darts before? Have you ever into a UK venue one?
Yeah, mate, I've been to Ali Pally a bunch of times. I used to go every year to the match play at Blackpool.
Did you?
Yeah, I was going there back when I was like 17, 18, 19. I used to go there every year with some friends from school. And I've done Leeds Arena as well for Premier League.
So you've done a lot then. You've done the most important game.
That's right, yeah. But I've not seen yourself play. So
yes, that's your next goal. You got to come and watch me play.
Absolutely, 100%. It would be a real, real pleasure. As has been this entire episode, Luke. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I hope it's been enjoyable for yourself, and I hope that Leeds United can get you that promotion that we want desperately.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me on the show as well. I've really enjoyed myself. Great chat to you.
That's awesome, Luke. Thanks again, mate. Really, really appreciate it. Well, there we have it. Soon-to-be world champion, Luke Humphreys. I hope I'm not pushing my luck there, but it was really amazing to chat to someone with such confidence, someone riding so high and having such self-belief, which is akin to this Leeds United team. Up the mighty Whites. See you next week. We are